Welcome to another exciting episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com, and this week is a special holiday-themed episode, complete with stockings hung with care, latkes with applesauce, and some Kwanzaa candles thrown in for fun. Okay, well, not really. Heck, I don't even get to partake in any holiday office parties. It's true. No lampshade-wearing HR lady who's had one too many eggnogs. No white elephant gift you surreptitiously slide under Bob in accounting's desk. And no State of the Union address by a CEO wearing a Santa hat. Oh well. Maybe I can't have a real holiday party, but we can have one of our own, right? Without said lampshade, I think. Yep, that's right, folks. We're having a semiconductor party this week. Oh, yeah. And you don't even need to dig out that white elephant gift you've been waiting to give away. Yep, my guest this week is Harrison Beasley, Technical Working Groups Manager at the Global Semiconductor Alliance, or GSA. Harrison and I are going to throw down some interesting chat about the GSA and the past, present, and future of the semiconductor industry.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Harrison.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, Harrison, what are the goals of the GSA?
Well, unlike other organizations, GSA represents the entire semiconductor ecosystem. Therefore, we're able to represent and promote industry-wide interest and thoughts with the end goal of furthering the advancement of the semiconductor supply chain to increase efficiencies and resolution. The goal of GSA is to use the collective power of the organization to help drive impactful change to the industry and increase the rate of return on invested capital of our members and other semiconductor players.
So what do you think are the GSA's major contributions or accomplishments?
Well, the Global Semiconductor Alliance began in 1994 as the Fabless Semiconductor Association. At the time, we were the only organization that gave the then nascent leaders in the fabless community the opportunity to congregate and resolve real issues that were epidemic within the fabless community, primarily the lack of a mature ecosystem to support a very disruptive business model. Over the years, some of the IDMs converted from owning their fabs to fab-lite and then to fabless. As our industry matured, the lines of delineation between IDMs and fabless companies began to blur. And the IDMs recognized that they could benefit from many of the same principles that the fabless industry was employing. The FSA recognized this and consequently changed our name from the Fabless Semiconductor Association to the Global Semiconductor Alliance, and is now the one truly global organization and partially supporting the entire semiconductor ecosystem.
So, Harrison, what do you think are the biggest challenges for the semiconductor industry in the future, and how do you see the GSA helping with those?
Like all industries, I don't think there's any one specific obstacle that we need to worry about. Every industry faces different challenges every day. It's up to that industry to deal with them. I think one thing that does concern me, however, is the lack of recognition that the semiconductor industry receives. Very few people truly understand the contributions that this industry has made to the enrichment of our lives in areas of health, leisure, communication, education. The semiconductor industry in those areas is the bedrock of all technology, and people just don't grasp that. GSA wants to see the world enlightened as to the economic and societal impacts of our industry so that we can continue to attract the best and the brightest and consequently innovate and continue to push technology forward.
So, Harrison, your title says Technical Working Groups Manager. What are the technical working groups at the GSA, and what do they do?
So we have five different working groups. Four of them are considered technical, and the one with the most industry news right now is the 3DIC working group. In a general sense, all of our working groups are chartered to provide education back to the industry. So I have all of my working groups meet quarterly. We have two technical presentations or two business-related presentations, and then each working group has an hour or so of time to discuss those presentations. Specifically for the 3DIC working group, our job is to promote adoption and proliferation of the 3DIC technology. We gather business intelligence, in the areas of the supply chain, and we provide access to information to support members in their business decisions. We're also working on three project areas, a 3D IC technology roadmap update, an end-to-end design for both 2.5D and 3D designs, and then 3D IC business models. As we know, there are several different models of assembly tests in that industry, from a wholly owned one to places where the fab is one company, the middle end is another company, OSETs handle the final assembly and test, and a mix of those. So we're working on finding those different types of business models.
All right, Harrison, how about an off-the-cuff question? Now, most people aren't chefs, but they can cook one thing really well. What's your one thing?
Well, it's sweet potatoes, but I don't think that's the kind of dish you're asking about.
No, it is. That's perfect. Do you have a secret ingredient or just really good quality sweet potatoes?
I do. My mom passed down a recipe to me, and I've been making it for many years now. She's been gone for a couple of decades, but I've refined the recipe using my engineering skills. And as one of my coworkers put it after tasting it for the first time this year, I must have that recipe to like velvet.
Fantastic. This sounds really good to me right now. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today, Harrison.
Well, thank you.
For the rest of the month of December, I will be doing a special segment called Amelia's Geeky Stocking Stuffers, or Small Trinkets for the Holiday Season that have some element of nerdiness to them. I couldn't really decide which title was best. Anyway, in this series, I will be giving helpful tips for, you guessed it, what you should buy me for this gift-giving season. Wait. Oh, this is about stuff to buy other people? Oh, okay. Well, this week, Amelia's Geeky Stocking Stuffer is Stick and Find System. Now, I don't know about you, but I lose things quite frequently. I only have a landline so I can call my cell phone. My keys should have one of those gigantic key fobs like at Starbucks. And don't even get me started on that TV remote. But folks, all of my key losing, cell phone misplacing, and remote control rummaging pains may be gone for good. Here comes Stick and Find. So, here's the deal. Stick and Find gives you a bunch of adhesive tags, which are about the size of a quarter, and an iPhone or Android app. Okay, great. No big deal, right? Oh no, just wait. Each one of these quarter-size adhesive pads contains a circuit board, a replaceable watch battery, a buzzer, and an LED light. And along with the associated iPhone or Android app, you can assign specific tags to specific objects. And when the time comes that you can't find your keys for the umpteenth time this week, that app will tell you how far away your desired object is, within a range of 100 feet. The app can also illuminate the LED and make the buzzer sound, or both. Now, there are a couple downsides to this new Stick and Find system. First, the system can't tell you what direction said missing item is in. Is the remote control shoved upside down behind the back of the cushions, or is it on its side between the cushions? For instance. And the other downfall, these aren't even in full production yet. Shoot. Stick and Find is currently raising money for its Bluetooth-enabled stickers on Indiegogo.com. And of course, I've posted a link on this week's Fish Fry page to their Indiegogo.com page. I think I'm going to go there right now and donate some money. And now it's time for my own gift giving. But this week, first, the winner of last week's ST Microelectronics Discovery Kit is Don Wilkins. And folks, I've got a brand new nerdy giveaway this week. Oh yes, I'm giving away not one, but two copies. That's right, two copies of FRAM for Dummies. This book is great. It will explain what FRAM is all about, how it works, and why it is a good choice for many modern applications. If you're still designing with Flash and haven't thought about FRAM for your next design, you're totally behind the curve. I'm just saying. So, if you want one of these super cool books for your very own, so you can join the cool kids in the FRAM club, let me know that you want one by commenting on this week's Fish Fry page. And by the end of the week, I'll pick two names from those comments and send them a book in the mail. There you go. So get posting. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including more information about the GSA and that stick-and-find system, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com. For the week of December 7th, 2012, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.